What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, and we're pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 22nd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Jose Cabrera, who is that? Well, he showed up for the Angels yesterday. 5 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 3 strikeouts. I apologize, not the Angels, the Diamondbacks, because you had Soroka and you had Nelson both get removed from this rotation over the weekend. Very sad there. This is an incredible start for Jose Cabrera. Who is this guy? Well, what does he do? Is he throws 92 to 95 with his fastball. It's like 94, 95 on the four seamer. Then he has a kind of a two plane sinker at 92, 93. It has about like 5 to 6 inches of drop. So not quite that like 2 inch drop that you want to see for a sinker, but then does have 16 inches of run on it as well, right? However, they're not really the most exciting fastballs. The 94, 95 four seamer is like 14 inches of run. Not good. Like 10, 11 inches of run. Sorry, 14 of vert, 10, 11 of run. It's not really that good. And you saw him pitching backward with about half of his pitches being cutters or sweepers or curves. And that's really cool. So I dig that he went after it with his cutter, right? It was an effective pitch. I don't know if we can see him go a full 68% strike rate across everything that he does. And I do like the fact that he went sweepers and curveballs a lot for 2 strikes. That is, sweepers did well against right-handers. Yeah, I saw a little bit of a sweeper to a lefty, but really the curveballs underneath and he had a couple changeups. It's all fine. I mean, he threw strikes, and that's really what's important, right? So you see this with 62 pitches. That means he's going to be limited, and he's not going to be up to 80 pitches next time. So Jose Cabrera gets the Rays and the Giants. Not the worst. I'd say it's a 15-team play, maybe a streaming option for your 12s. But then again, this is just one outing. And a lot of times we see a really bad or good outing in the first one, and then it gets reversed in the second one, right? It's just a sample size of one at the moment. With just 3 strikeouts, it's not really the thing that I want to hang my hat on, so I don't really expect him to take off and be the next big thing. That is Jose Cabrera. Logan Gilbert, 18 whiffs for a gallows pull. You love to see that. 6.1 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 8 Ks. And all right, ace is going to ace. You've returned back to the fold. You know, the last 4 games, he has matched his season high in whiffs or higher. That is, he had 115 whiff game that matched the season high earlier in, like, I want to say, like, the 3rd or 4th game. And then the other 3 are all well above it. 18-plus whiffs in 3 of his last 4, including this one. So, yeah, you deserve it. I mean, it's just a lot of four-seamers for strikes without the slider having to do a ton. And that works. That can be fine. You have Kaiwei Tang against the Guardians. I'm going to say blame it on the Guardians here. Really curious to see Kaiwei Tang go 6 innings, 1 run, 5 base runners, just 1 walk, and 4 Ks. While leaning on his four-seamer 47% of the time, while down 1 to 2 ticks on it. If you remember, Kaiwei Tang is like a breaking ball-focused guy, and that is strange. Do not trust it. Davis Martin has gone snip, snap, where all of a sudden he goes 6 earned runs against the Twins and has a great one against Atlanta, then struggles against the Yankees, and now does well against the Tigers. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. We'll take it. He's a Toby moving forward. So if you treat him like that, everything is okay. Brandon Young had a really surprising day. Why? Because he went against the Dodgers and he went 5 innings and 1 run. I don't know. I don't know how he did it. And I mean, I know how he did it. 7 base runners, 5 Ks. I'm surprised it worked because it was 4 seamers upstairs to lefties and the curveball and the splitter were fine. But everything just kind of existed outside of the four-seamer. And the four-seamer got away with things. Like, it was a day of, I hope my four-seamer is good enough. And it was somehow against the Dodgers, but I would not be expecting for more there. Chase Burns, ace is going to ace. He did this against the Yankees. And the definition of an ace is that you want to start them even against a team like the Yankees. And what do you know, 5 innings, 1 run, 8 base runners, but 7 Ks. He has a 2 ERA and a 105 whip with a 30% strikeout rate in 15 games. 9-1 record. Chase Burns has been so good, as we've talked about Mizorowski and Schlittler as like the real good sophomores, but Chase Burns deserves a ton of love as well. Ryan Gusto against the Giants, 4.1 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He almost made it through 5, and look, 68 pitches. This is the whole thing with the Marlins. They love to get anxious and pull their guys early, a lot like the Brewers do. You know, I don't really agree with this one, but he wasn't also the most dominant arm. He does get some whiffs high and tight with his sinker and his four-seamer. That's really cool. But Ryan Gusto is just and I wouldn't really go for this against the Cardinals next. Andrew Alvarez, the same problem. 68 pitches and only 4 innings despite 6 Ks and 0 walks. 100 run and 4 hits. And it's just, what are you doing? Why wouldn't you just push this guy a little bit more? You know, it's 50-50 fastball and breaking ball at the moment for Alvarez, which I don't know if I love. I kind of want it to be 60-40 with breakers instead. The curveball was really good down. Same with the slider, but really the curveball was the one that led the way. And then you have the sinker and the four-seamer that just kind of is like, all right, it's there, but they're not really that good. Now, Savant struggled where they didn't know what a lot of the sinkers were. They called them as sinkers, but they really were four-seamers. He had a very distinct difference between the two. So make sure when you're reading data on Andrew Alvarez, you got that right. But I don't feel like you should be going after this concern. They haven't let him go 5 full innings once this year. And it's not that good. I don't feel like it's going to be 6 Ks and 0 walks for Andrew Alvarez a lot moving forward. You have Jared Jones. Oh, so frustrating. He's had this schedule gauntlet, right? He's had the Dodgers, then Sacramento Verde, and this was in Coors. And by the way, after this would be hosting the Reds, then at Philly, and then hosting Atlanta. And that's not even that much better. I mean, it's better, but still. And here was 3 innings, 1 run, 1 hit, 2 walks, 3 Ks. 3 innings? Yeah, because he got plunked in the elbow on a comebacker and his pitching elbow. And as he went off the field at the end of the third, he shouted so loudly. Not good. Not good. If he is pitching on Saturday, his x-rays were negative after all. I'm going to roll with him, but I wouldn't be surprised if they shorten him again. Only 45 pitches here. Logan Webb is so close to the ace is going to ace tag. I didn't give it to him, even though it's been 5 starts since coming off the IL that he's just been excellent. 8 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk in, 5 Ks against the Marlins. He gets Atlanta and at Coors next. So it's the proper thing with ace is going to ace. You got to prove that you are good to go against the tough teams. And yeah, Webb, you got this. Slade Ciccone gave me a streaming victory, but boy, was it not pretty. 6 innings of 200 runs, but 6 hits, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? I got the loss against the Astros. Oh boy. So Slade Ciccone is this guy I've been back and forth on a little bit, and it's mostly because I like this cutter. He throws 88, 89. Is he going to lean into it or not? Or is he, you know, going to go 20% into it? Is he going to go 30, 40? He threw 4 of them. Why? Why? Why'd you go dancing with a disco with your worst slider to right-handers? I don't know. I don't know. And he went against a right-handed lineup with the Astros. And that's where he should be throwing those. That's what you're, where he has success. Now he's going to get the Mariners and the White Sox, who are going to have a lot more left-handers. I don't want to do this. Robert Gasser did really well against Atlanta. He got the win, 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts, 12 whiffs, 27% CSW. Now, Gasser is not a swatch because he does not have a tight changeup. What he does is 4-seamer sinkers and sweepers, where the 4-seamer was good upstairs and the sweeper came in underneath. Effectively, the sinker was fine. It existed. Now, why is it 97 pitches? Because Gasser was in a game where they were blowing out the opponent. They had 8 runs in the second frame, and there you go. Bryce Elder just fell apart. So because of that, Milwaukee wasn't the ones who were anxious about the third time through the lineup because it was a blowout game. Like, all right, keep going, Gasser. And what do you know? He did well. Stop freaking out about it, Milwaukee. But seriously, 4-seamer stayed up there for a 16% swing strike rate against right-handers. And if it's a decent start for Gasser moving forward, I'm in. What is it going to be? Because right now, Gasser could be out of the rotation with Brandon Sproat and Shane Drahan being in the rotation. You got Woodruff coming back. You got Mizorowski and Harrison. So I have no idea what's going on. Let's say that Gasser does go on a Saturday over the weekend against the Cubs, right? Because Woodruff's coming back today or maybe tomorrow, one of the 2 days. And then he's taking that next start as well. I believe it is today and Saturday. I wouldn't want to do that. I mean, I could see myself going after it, but just the fact that Gasser doesn't have a changeup for right-handers does make me a little bit concerned, and I wish it were against an easier lineup. Zach Wheeler against the Mets got the win, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks, and a bit of a careful Icarus here, because entering the 6th inning, he had 0 walks. Think about that. He had 3 walks in the day. Yeah, it was wild. But seriously, I normally don't see this from Wheeler, and my first instinct is, are you okay? But two of those walks were on full counts and not just like six pitch full counts, right? They fought. So it wasn't one of those where Wheeler just had no control and walked the guy in four pitches or five pitches or whatever. Like, he fought like Brandon. So I'm okay with this. I mean, I feel like it's just one of those weird innings. Something wasn't perfect and we move on. Mike Paredes finally went five innings and 75 pitches. It was the longest he's been out in a game. He had three games of about 50, 55 pitches and one of 65. That was his first one. And what do you get when he finally goes five innings? It's two more runs, six hits, three walks, and one strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? So yeah, no thanks. You have Keider Montero against the White Sox. He is a whip darling. And let me tell you, like a bad radio station, the hits did not keep coming. Seven innings, 300 runs, six hits, zero walks, and three strikeouts. That's why you have Montero exactly for this. It's not a good ERA, but you're hoping that the low walk rate, about 5% on the year, will keep the whip below 120. Now, Verlander was supposed to start this game, but he got set back again with now a hamstring problem. And with Jack Flaherty's injury, both Montero and Melton are in this rotation. Now, Jack Flaherty could be back as soon as, say, like next week or so. And that means that Montero could be out again. We don't know. I do think that Melton should stick around and Montero would be in the pen. But I would say if Montero is getting the start on Friday, which he absolutely will, because you don't have Flaherty back in time, that is a good 15-teamer play. If you're vying for a whip, a low whip in your head-to-head league, that could work there too. Payne Tolley, is he an ace? I don't think so yet. Six innings, 300 runs, six hits, two walks, and just two strikeouts in the tee. Oh my God, that is Seattle T-Mobile Park. How can you do that, man? This is supposed to be the time where you're supposed to get all the strikeouts. He's going RASPAC here, but it looks like a Wonka for those who are not in a quality start league because you don't get anything. You got nothing. And the RASPAC, if you don't remember, is cutter, four-seamer, sinker, right? And like usually two other pitches that no one ever remembers, just like the Rat Pack. And Payton Tolley's four-seamer with sinker and cutter are the ones. I will say that it's not quite a RASPAC for me because the cutter is really a slider. It's 8 miles per hour different than the four-seamer, unlike the 3 miles per hour difference of Schlittler's and so on, right? It's not as confusing. And I think that actually hurts him because he's throwing these three pitches a ton, and the difference between the cutter and the four-seamer, I think, are big enough that batters are able to adjust to it. That's at least my theory right now, is why he's not as effective as someone like Schlittler. So I consider him more of a premium cherry bomb than I do a ace right now. He's going to get the Yankees over the weekend. If he really dominates there, he might be suggesting that the tag should be changed. Nathan Eovaldi went against the Padres. He was scratched on Saturday with a knee issue, slight one, and he came back and gave you a poor quality start, six innings of 300 runs, but he got you a win, seven hits, one walk, and nine strikeouts for a King Cole at 36% CSW. Good job, Nathan Eovaldi. Thank you so much for returning. The splitter was so good. It was a 31% swing strike rate, all at the bottom of the zone. You can see in the player card if you're watching this on YouTube, because, wait, you didn't realize these are on YouTube? Yes, they are. You got to do it. It's just, you see the player cards. It's great. Thank you so much, Josh Sperry, for getting those up all the time. And by the way, we got to talk about other guys like Nick Martinez and Elmer Rodriguez, Jack Perkins, and oh man, we had disasters from Reed Detmers and Elder and Sheehan and Stephen Kolek, and I'm going to tell you all about them and more after this break. Nick Martinez, six innings, 300 runs, four hits, three walks, and five strikeouts and nine whiffs. Okay, this was a Bailey special and not so bad, right? Because Nick Martinez isn't supposed to be an ace. And we're wondering if the Vargas rule is still around. We normally get like a massive slide down the peak, right? Not this ease. So I'm okay with that. Just consider him a Toby. I mean, he gets Arizona and the Royals next. That's okay. Elmer Rodriguez has gone four games this year and is yet to go five full frames. You had a spot start here because the Yankees are going to have a long series ahead. They're not getting a rest day for a while. I mean, they don't have one on Monday. They don't have one on Thursday. They don't have one on Monday next week. So they're like, all right, let's just get some break for our pitching staff right now. Elmer came up. When he does actually get some runway in this rotation, which I don't know when that will be, I wouldn't go for it until we actually see that Elmer can do something legitimate. good news. At least he's up to 96 now. It's a full tick up from the 95 that we saw before. Mike Lorenzen went, okay, more at 11. Jack Perkins against the Angels. Five innings, four runs, where it's two walks and eight strikeouts. He allowed a three-run shot in the second inning. And he also allowed, three other hits. And I got to say, none of these pitches were actually, like, bad pitches. You know, they were not on big mistakes. It was just, all right, they just got to that one, I guess. And there's something to be said about that. Because I think he pitched really well here in Sacre Verde against the Angels. Now he's going to go into Los Angeles to face them again. I would want the fastball to not be at 94.8 and be closer to the 96, 97 that he's been averaging all year. But he's pitching well. You know, he's someone that I would consider for this. The sweeper was so good against these Angels, a 28% swinging strike rate, and he threw it 40% of the time. I don't see why he would change that and why it wouldn't have the same success again. Lucas Giolito was bad because he just has been bad, and he should not be rostered at all. He has not been on the list once this year. I don't believe so. Or maybe he was before he started. I don't even think that was the case. Four innings of four and runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. You have David Peterson also being bad. Four innings, four and runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. You know, you don't need me. GUMP, don't start him. Reed Detmers. Okay, he was opposite Jack Perkins. 6 innings, 5 runs, 6 hits, 4 walks, 4 Ks. This was a perfect case, perfect example, really, of a pitcher not getting comfortable in Sacramento. This first inning was horrendous. I mean, it was so bad. He had a leadoff single and then 3 straight walks, including walking in Zach Neto. Not Zach Neto, I'm so sorry, the leadoff batter. And then he settled in, right? I mean, yes, he allowed 4 runs in that inning and then 1 more inning, run later on. But if you remember my whole narrative about Detmers, is that he hasn't had his slider for a bit. And that's really the cause for concern. He has a slider now. He got 5 legitimate whiffs on sliders down and in to right-handers. It was awesome. He had more than that total for the slider. And now that he's going to be back in Los Angeles against this team, without that hopeful bamboozling in the first inning, I'm actually in on that start. Emmett Sheehan against the Orioles just had a bad day at the park. I mean, all three of these guys, 3 of the next 4 certainly did. You have 3.1 innings of 6 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks for Sheehan. His slider went 42% strikes, guys. It's sometimes just as simple as that. Like, you don't have a major pitch, and this is the toughest part of a lot of these 2-3 pitch guys, is unlike a kitchen sink arm, they're going to have problems when the pitch is gone, right? Especially if you're younger like Emmett Sheehan is. Now, he's going to get the project twice. Yeah, sure, just keep starting Emmett Sheehan. Really don't think too much about it. Dustin May also had a terrible day. It was 2 innings of 6 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. He was a ticket or two down on everything. He allowed 2 home runs in the second frame. It just wasn't a day of getting comfortable of doing so well for so long. And it's going to be fine. He gets the Marlins next in St. Louis. He will recover from this in all likelihood. You have Bryce Elder, 6 innings, 8 earned runs, 12 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. Oh my gosh. At least he recovered from those 8 earned runs in that second frame. But still, it was, not fun. And what happened here is that all the pitches that were not well located by Elder were hit. He did a great job getting up and in against lefties, and all those did not allow hits. But the ones that actually came middle down, those were the ones that allowed hits, and he got burned for them because, his stuff is just not that good. So keep that in mind with Bryce Elder that, this has been a nice run. He had a 1.97 ERA and a 0.99 whip as of May 22nd after that start then. And now we are at a 3.71 ERA and a 1.21 whip in a month later. That's crazy. All right. I wouldn't be moving on from Bryce Elder, even though he gets the Giants next. And then there's Steven Kolek. He faced the Cardinals and was 1.2 innings of 9 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 0 Ks. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? I just talked about this kitchen sink guys should be able to avoid this. I know. But he was just bad. He did not have his feel. He had a hit by pitch and a walk in the first inning. He had 2 home runs. He had a 3rd home run in the second. I mean, it was just, Now he gets the White Sox, the Rays, and the Mets next. If I have Kolek, which I believe I do in a league, I'm starting him. because I don't believe that you have one bad start that means you're going to have a bad one next. We just saw Davis Martin go snip, snap, snip, snap, right? He got a bad start against the Twins, and he did well against Atlanta. Then he does badly against the Yankees, and then he does well yesterday. So don't lean too heavily into one game he goes bad, thus I can't do this again. Now, if you want to rage drop him, fine. You don't want to take the risk of it, fine. I'm not saying that he's going to 100% do well next time. But yeah, this isn't who he is, and that's all I can really say. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.